All righty. You can find your seat. We'll get into God's Word.
We will worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord.
Hate to interrupt. All righty, if you want to find your spot, we'll get into God's Word. If you don't, you can keep talking. No, I'm just kidding. See, now they quit. A mild hush rose over the crowd. When you get to your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. It's right before 2 Samuel, if you don't know where that is. Just giving you a clue, there's two books. I'm sure glad you enjoy coming to church. It's always good to be friendly at church. Should be the friendliest place in town. 1 Samuel 1. Yep, 1 Samuel 1. I still hear pages rustling, so that's why I'm waiting. That's okay. First Samuel chapter 1. You ready? Here we go. Verse 1. There was a certain man from that place. Does anybody know how to say it? Come on, smarty pants. Come on. Yeah, see. A Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Joram, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, and son of Zuph, and the Ephraimite. And yes, I probably slaughtered them all. He had two wives, one who was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. When Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Slap him. I'm just saying. You can see what all you wives were thinking. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up, and now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him. She said, May your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went out on her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worship before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, Because I asked the Lord for him. When the man Elkanah went up with his family to offer an annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you, Elkanah, her husband told her. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After she had weaned him, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah, a flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli and said to him, As surely as you live, my Lord, I am a woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord had granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Father, today we thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to work deeply in our hearts today. Lord, I pray that we have made room for you to do something in us, that our lives are not so full of us that you can't even move. Lord, I pray that as we make room for you this morning, your word will go forth into us and begin to do in us what you had in mind as this day started. So, Lord, thank you for how you're going to move in our time of your word. And I ask, Lord, that you'll continue to give me the ability to speak that which is close and dear to your heart, not of my own flesh. And I ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Have you ever noticed that the Lord loves to add and multiply rather than subtract and divide? He always likes to add and multiply. Everything Jesus did, he multiplied something. He did something that wasn't done. He always added into people. The only thing that we are to subtract or divide out of our life is sin. Sin is the only thing he wants to remove out of us. He loves to take out impurity, and he loves to put purity back in. He loves to pull out sin, and he loves to put life in. He loves to remove whatever is there, only to not only remove, but to put back in something that'll produce something other than what was there before. Because if what was in me before I ever met Jesus was good enough, why did I come and meet Jesus anyway? Because I would have been just fine doing my own thing. If I would have been satisfied, if I would have been known that that was enough, I would have been satisfied. Therefore, I would have just kept on doing my own thing. But because I knew where I was, and because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I began to realize I needed something I didn't have. And the only way that could happen was an emptying of my life and allowing Him to come in and begin to fill me up from the inside out, and with His truth in my mind and my heart, and believing and walking that out. Now I have a life and of abundance of everything that He has. I should say everything He's made available. Sometimes we don't even like what He feeds us. We're kind of spoiled, rotten kids. We turn our nose up and say, I don't like that. And God says, well, you need it. You ever done that to your kids? Got to eat your green beans. Got to eat your peas. Got to eat your, you know, oh, yeah, great. Can't wait. But the reality is that we don't always enjoy something that's good for us. Because we sometimes listen too much to what our flesh wants rather than what our spirit wants. And once you become a Christian or a believer, you now begin to feed your spirit more than you feed your flesh, because if you feed your flesh more than your spirit will die. And your flesh will continue to live in its unredeemed state, and it'll cause more pain and heartache in your life than you've ever experienced in your life. And the reason is because now you know better. Before, you were just stupid and ignorant. Let's just face it. If I can't be held accountable for what I don't know. But if I know something, then I'm held accountable to it. And once I know something, then I can begin to take that truth and add it to what I know. And as I add it to what I know, my spirit picks that up and begins to produce in me something that can't be produced any other way. And so God begins to want to do things in your life and my life. I want to look at this story today with Hannah and Peninnah. They're two ladies. One had children and made a big deal out of it, and one didn't have children, and she begged and pleaded for God to birth in her something that she really thought she needed. The interesting thing about God is that when He comes to birth something in you, it's never on your timetable. I'm glad you got a chuckle out of that, Joe. It isn't. It's never on my timetable. And I think Hannah is a perfect example of something that God wanted to birth, but it was on God's timetable, not hers. I don't know about you, but as God laid this out this morning for me to share with you, the reality is that God is ready to birth in you and me something that He's never done before. But birthing with God only comes out of intimacy. You can't get birthing out of a one-night stand with God. Oh, you can have a baby, but it won't be God's. God is ready to birth in you. I need you to know that. God is ready to do something. Guys, this is the only time you'll ever be pregnant. Because God is ready to birth in you something that needs to be ready for what's ahead. You see, God isn't taking a message like this, and He's not throwing it outside the four walls of the church, just giving it to anybody and everybody. Why? Because He's not interested in a one-night stand. He's not interested in a two-week relationship. He's not even interested in a two-year, the dating process. He's more interested in intimacy that bursts, so that once something is created inside of us, it has the ability to grow and to mature. So when that birthing comes, He begins to establish something that is created, that is another dagger in the enemy's territory. It's another way of taking back what the enemy stole, and the only way He's going to do that is through the church, through His body, through His people. That's the only way it's going to happen. And it's so, what's mind-boggling to me is this. How long do we have to go to church before God has the ability to birth something? The church should be the most fertile place in the world because it's His body responding to His voice, doing whatever it is He wants. Otherwise, let's go home and do something fun today. Come on. We might as well, if we're not going to listen to Him, let's go do our thing. But if we're here today, the reason we're here is to hear His heartbeat. Hear what's important to Him. Know what says in here so that what He has, it's downloaded into me. It's put into me. It's something, a part of me that when He gives inside of me, He can begin to blossom and bloom, and I can become pregnant with the very truths of what God says so that when the time of birthing comes, I can give something back that gives joy, peace, satisfaction. I don't know about you, but when all my kids were born, I wasn't going, "Oh my Lord. Whoa, boy, I didn't expect that." No. The reality is that when my kids were born, I was right there going, "Yes, this is something I've created. It's the joy of my heart." And God wants to do that very same thing, not so much physically, but spiritually inside of us. The interesting thing about this whole story is this, and I want you to look at this with me if you would. I don't know why he got to have two wives. I'm not sure why he wanted that much trouble. I mean, we can't figure out one. What are we going to do with two? Come on, let's just be honest. I'm not saying women are bad. I'm just saying we have a tough time figuring out one. I don't know why we'd want to try and figure out two. But but the reality is he had two wives. One could have babies like left and right. Boom, 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 boom. You ever looked at the world sometimes as a believer and said, "How come they don't have the troubles I got? How come they don't ever face these things that I'm going through?" If you want to read a great psalm, read Psalm 73. Write that down in your notes. The psalmist was writing, and as he was writing, he began to look at the world. They didn't have troubles. They didn't have this. They seemed to enjoy everything they were doing. They had plenty of money. They had all this stuff and whatever was going on. And it just seemed like their life was going real easy compared to the one that was serving God. And it seemed like that was somewhat of a challenge. And you know, sometimes it is. But the whole picture of that Psalm 73 comes to the very, towards the end where he says, "I was almost ready to slip and fall out of my relationship with the Lord until I entered the sanctuary of the Lord." In other words, when he entered the sanctuary of the Lord, he began to get a picture of what God saw was really important. And when he saw what God saw, he didn't have a problem with what the world had anymore. He didn't have a problem with what he had to walk through as a believer, no matter how challenging or difficult it might have been. He come to the understanding that if I don't live this life with Jesus Christ, I am gone. I'm going to hell. It became a reality to him that this life can be lived in vain. It can be lived in any way you want. But if you live your life in the way you want, don't plan on going to heaven. The bottom line is that Jesus didn't die on the cross for me to be able to do whatever I want. He died on the cross to redeem me from a way of life so I can have a relationship with Him here. If I don't want a relationship with Him here, why do you want to go to heaven for eternity? So the reality is God wants to stir in me something that He wants to birth. And God is always about addition and multiplication. He always wants to add something to my life, and He wants to multiply something to my life. Why? So that what I have, I can give away. It's never meant just for me. I can portion it out to someone that's in my pathway. And as you learn to portion out what God has given you, then you begin to give life away. Why? Because God loves to multiply. So the last thing a believer should ever give anybody is division, hatred, jealousy, envy, lying, stealing, bitterness. Those are the last things I should portion to you. Those are the last things I should give you. Why? Because that doesn't reflect Him. So the reality is, what is God wanting to birth in me today? And I tell you what, I had the most unique experience I've ever had in my life. Back in about March, April, I began eating like a horse. Not out of a trough or anything, but... the old saying is, eat like a horse, whatever. I could eat and eat and eat. And then I found my middle getting bigger. And I found myself getting out of breath. And I'm like, naturally that makes sense. I understand that. But there was something more to it. It's just like, I wanted to sleep more. I wanted to lay down. I wanted to go and eat every opportunity I could eat. And I asked the Lord one day, and I said, Lord, this is kind of odd for me. I don't normally have this. And He says, I said, what's going on with me? And He says, don't you realize you're pregnant? I said, no. I thought I was enjoying good things in life. But no, He says, you're spiritually pregnant. And I thought, why would I naturally experience the same characteristics of being pregnant only in the spirit? You know what I mean? So as I was going through this time, I was like, wow. And so I began to try to be a little more careful of how I carried myself, not physically, but spiritually. Because you know as well as I do, if you don't take care of that baby that's in the womb when it's birthed, it can have defects, it can have challenges, it can have difficulties. All because of the care that it was given. And so God began to show me some things about how to take care of the very thing that was birthed in me. And so I believe I'm in a realm of carrying a baby that I've never carried before, spiritually. I've never been where I'm at. Yesterday, just so some of you know, God is stretching me out. I was up north and east of Lawton yesterday doing a burial for two brothers I've never met. All because one nephew wanted a Pentecostal preacher and the only one they knew was me. It's not that I'm the only one, it's just that I happen to be in the right place at the right time for the right season for what God's doing. That's all I can say. So God is expanding what God is doing. But I have to be careful to carry this baby until it can live on its own. And that's 18 years usually. It might be a few more for a few of you, but that's okay. But when I think about that, it's like, Lord, you have to help me because I've never done this before. I've never done what I need to do or learned how to carry a baby like this. I got to show you this real quick. Hannah couldn't have a baby. Does that make everybody understands that? She couldn't have a baby. You know why she couldn't have a baby? Because the Lord closed up her womb. It wasn't because she was sinful. It wasn't because she was a bad person. Now, in your mind, in my mind, if I'm going to have a baby with my wife and we can't conceive, the first thing's going to go, it's what's wrong with me? Why is God not blessing us with this baby? Why are we experiencing this? These are the thoughts that would run through my mind. And the interesting part is, Hannah was to give birth at the proper time. God wanted something birthed. Because it was the Lord that opened her womb again for her to have a baby. But her job was to come to the year after year. Can you imagine? Well, you probably can. You've been praying for things yourself. You come to the tabernacle, you offer up sacrifice, and you offer up praise to the Lord, and you go home barren. And you do that year after year. Can you imagine that? Year after year, they came to the temple. They would offer sacrifice. They would worship the Lord and give what was rightfully His. And yes, He does deserve it, even if you don't get what you want. We have to remember that. She still honored the Lord. She could have gotten bitter. She could have gotten where she turned her back on God, but she didn't. She just kept on coming to the Lord and pleading, Lord, I want this baby. And the Lord was saying, in my time. So when you and I desire something, whether it's natural or spiritual, make sure that your desire lines up with what God wants in His time. Because if you and I don't, if I, as a person, am growing up, it'd be like giving a little five-year-old a big 50-caliber rifle. It's like, what's a five-year-old going to do with a 50-caliber rifle? If he shoots it, he's going to be on the floor, hurt, doing, I don't know what. But you see, if we get something too soon, it can destroy us. If we get something too late, it can be too late. But God is into birthing things into your life and mine because we have this awesome river, the Bible says in Psalms 46, the river that flows from heaven that never runs dry. Why is there a river that flows from heaven? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What He's going to do is He's going to bring down His will down to earth and He's going to begin to impregnate in you, in your spirit man, the very things that He wants so that you can begin to affect people that surround you. You can begin to do what God wants in you so that you can accomplish what He has you here for. But if you and I become bitter and we look at the world and say, well, how come they get to have all the babies and how come they get to do this and how come they get to do that? I think I'm just going to abandon God and go do what I want. Well, go right ahead. But I guarantee you God won't go with you. You want to burst something of the world? Go ahead. Have a headache for another 18 years. Because what you birth for the devil will be the same that you carry for God. Oh, there might be times you're redeemed, but I tell you what, I can still remember some of the very things I did when I was back and 14 years old. And how many years ago was that? Yeah, let's forget that. But the reality is that there are those things I wish I could go back and unplant. So don't think those things die quickly just because you become a Christian. So if you're still young enough to know, understand, if God says don't do it, don't do it. Because you will not want to take care of a baby that you didn't want birth to begin with. But Hannah waited. And she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed. How long has it been since you prayed about something you're close to your heart? It might not be a bad thing that you've been praying for, just like Hannah. She wanted a baby. Babies are not bad. Babies are wonderful gifts to our life. They are a joy to your life. When babies come, it's a joy. But when the baby comes in the right time and the right season of what God has in mind, guess what? That baby becomes a blessing and then it adds everything to my life. It begins to bring more things to me because it grows, it matures. I pour into the baby and the baby grows and the baby gives back to me. Pretty soon I hear that, Daddy, Mommy. Give a big old squeeze around your neck or whatever it is. I mean, the things that kids do that melt your heart. And that's what happens when you and I take care of what God wants to birth in us. We let it incubate in us so that it becomes a baby. Once that baby comes, we hold it in our arms. We care for it. We watch over it. We protect it. We're very careful where we go with the baby so that when that baby's growing, it has the ability to grow and mature everything that we want it to be so that when they get big, like you, when they get big and strong, flabby, no, just kidding. That's what happens when you get married. But you see, God begins to birth it. So now I've got to take care of this thing. But once this baby has the ability to live on its own, God will take care of it. And He'll begin to download into this baby or give to this baby everything this baby needs to live. Why? Because it's His, not mine. When I take ownership of something God has, that's your first mistake. All I am to the babies that God gives me is a caretaker. I come, I make sure it's okay. If it's okay, I take my hands off because God is the one that shapes and molds that baby once it becomes full grown. As this baby begins to grow in him now, because why? God made him for a purpose to have babies. That God begins to birth in him the very things that's needed for his life. Now, his baby is not your baby. Don't ever wish for somebody else's baby. You see, what happens is we begin to look around sometimes and say, well, how come they get this baby? How come they get that baby? How come they get this and that? How come they get to do all this? Because they're created different than you are. And what God wants to do in Candy, he won't do in Brendan. What God wants to do in Lyle, he won't do in Swen. Why? Because you're two divinely ordained pieces of furniture that God needs for his work. And Swen will touch people that Lyle will never touch. And Lyle will touch people that Swen will never touch. And that's the purpose of why God makes us in the process of becoming this one that can become a mother to the very things that God has on his heart. And I don't want this baby too soon, because if he gets too big before he comes out, it hurts. And if they're too young, then they need more care. You see, God loves to birth things at the right time. Thanks, buddy. Hannah had to wait for God to birth in her that Samuel. God is wanting to birth a Samuel in you. He's wanting to bring something inside of you, not a physical child for the most. I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about a spiritual birthing of something that God needs in the community where you live, that you're a part of, because if God can birth it in you, guess what? He's also doing it in others. Why? Because his body is responding. We're giving him room. We're worshiping and we're sacrificing. We're praising. I am a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God. But I can't be holy and pleasing if I'm doing my own thing. You want to know why most Christian people are frustrated with their life? Because they're not letting God birth in them something that God wants to do. And the reason we don't allow God to do what he wants is because we're too busy doing our thing rather than doing his thing. That doesn't mean you're all going to become pastors, evangelists, preachers, prophets, evangelists, apostles, all those things. He's going to still allow you to be a farmer, to be in the military, to be a caretaker of something that you don't own. He's still going to birth in you things in those processes to touch the people you're around. But the reality is this. If God has your womb closed up, it's for a reason. But don't quit. Hannah followed Elkanah every year to come and to offer God sacrifices and praises unto him. And she worshipped him faithfully, even though she never had a baby. So important that you and I don't get offended at God because he's not doing something we want. I don't understand, and I don't have to understand. There's a lot of things in life I don't understand. But if God isn't answering those questions, then don't keep searching for them. Why are you wasting your time begging God for something he's not giving you? Well, if I only knew, if you only knew what God thought, you probably would be more offended at him. Because it's not the answer you thought it should be. And so if you're going to already have a preconceived idea how your answer should be, then guess what? It wouldn't matter if God told you the truth. You'd still turn on him. Because that's our human nature. The reality is this. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, it's been one of my favorite verses for a long time, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. If I learn to trust him, that if he doesn't answer a question I've been asking, then I don't need the answer. Because Hannah got the baby how many years down the road?
She asks the same question every year, longing all year for that baby. But God closed her womb for a season. I don't understand that. I just know that it happened. It didn't say that she was a sinful woman and that's why her womb was closed. It didn't say she was a bad woman and that's why her womb was closed. It just said the Lord closed her womb. So the reality is this. God wants to birth something in me. He wants to birth something in you. If you and I learn to allow God to continue to birth in us what God has in mind, then we'll be able to honor and worship Him and praise Him and be honorable to Him in His time. The worst thing you can do is compare yourself to somebody else. Well, that Aaron, he's growing so fast. Oh, just wish I could grow that fast. Go ahead. There's nothing stopping you. But spend the hours he has. Reading. Not sleeping. Not doing the things that he used to love to do. Pay the price if you want that. But if you can't, if you want it without the price, you'll never get it. Just look at things in the natural. Outside of inheritance or some fluke deal that you played the lottery and won, pretty good chance you're going to have to work the rest of your life to get what you want. But I remember a few of you guys back when I first came, the vehicles you used to drive, you weren't presenting anything that was like, I've got all the money in the world or whatever. But as watching you grow and watching grow your businesses, we've seen you upgrade and move up. And I got to tell you this, Hoofta. He's ready to do a remodel in your life. I'm not saying it's bad, because how many people live in a house and we love living there, but then mama comes along and says, let's paint, let's do this, let's do that. And God says he's ready for an upgrade in you, Todd. And that's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. Where you are to this day is where you're at. But he's ready to put it and shape it and mold it for what's ahead. That's the best part. It's not that it's bad. It's that he knows what's coming. And he's ready to get you ready. So when he begins to put his hands on you and you kind of, do we have to go that way? Or do you have to? Yeah. Just say, okay, if that's the way it's got to be done. But he's ready to do an up. I mean, and it's an awesome thing, Todd. Really is. I normally don't get those very often. But when I was worshiping, the Lord just pointed, he just like put a glow around you. And I don't get that very often. So you're special in my eyes. So just enjoy that. Remodeling isn't always that much fun. It's dusty, it's dirty, but when you get done, boy, it's pretty. Maybe it's manly. Yeah, I should say that. Okay. So he's ready to birth in us something that's not normally in us. And so as God's ready to birth in you what he wants, guess what? You still have to give him the liberty to do that. So the question I have for myself and for you today is this. Am I ready to let God do in me what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants it done? Because if I get there too soon, that won't be good. If I get there too late, that's not good. He wants me to learn how to be surrendered to him. And as I'm surrendering to him, he has the ability to put his hands on me and begin to birth in me. I have that intimacy with him. I spend that time with him. And I begin to birth. I begin to get his desires. I begin to get his ways. I get his understanding. I get to see what he sees. So that when I look at Terry, I don't look at her with the eyes of my flesh. I look at her with the eyes of the Spirit. That's the birthing of what God does. I begin to look at people totally different than I used to. And the reason that is because of what's birthed in me. Because if I can't get God's opinion of you, I should keep my mouth shut. I don't care how much I see that's true. God didn't tell me to say everything just because it's true. But God did tell me that I have to look at you the way God sees you. And if I get that picture when I look at you, All I can do is add to your life. I'm not to divide. I'm not to tear down. I'm not to destroy. I can add. And that's the way the church should be. When we look at each other, this would be the safest place in the world for believers. Sad to say, it's become the most dangerous place because, well, who do they think they are? Thinking they're pretty special. No. I look at them, I look at you the way God sees you. And when I get that picture in my mind, all I can do is add and multiply into your life of something that God is giving me. But here's the thing. If I never have time for God, I will never have nothing but subtraction and division from myself. You see, if I don't get created inside of me, the very life-giving work of God inside of me, what's going to come out of me? Jeff Capel. And you guys don't want Jeff Capel. You want the Spirit of God that lives in Jeff Capel to portion out what God has deposited, because if I was good enough before God, I wouldn't be here today. I'd be doing something I enjoy, doing whatever I want. But because my life was not satisfied by my own life and the way that life was going, I invited Jesus Christ into me, and because He gave me, now I have portions to give away to Dwayne. I have portions to give away to Candy, Brad, and Lauren. I have portions to give away. Why? Because it's not me. It's what's been birthed in me. And I don't know about you, but have you ever noticed when you get pregnant, you gain weight? I did. I ate with my wife. That was awesome. I didn't lose it as fast, but but God longs to birth in you something that that He needs for the days ahead. That's just a minute. That's how important it is. It's not so that you can just keep what you want. It's something that God puts in you so that what comes ahead, you're ready to portion out. That's what needs to be. The people you come across, the places you go, the places you work, the places that you visit or whatever, even on just going to get groceries. The reality is that God gives you enough to give away so that what's in you is given away. But if I never spend time with God, I never hear His voice, I never read His word, I have nothing to give. And please don't try and give something when you're empty. Last time my car ran out of gas, it didn't matter what I did, it didn't work. Couldn't go anywhere, couldn't do anything. I was helpless until I got some gas in the car. You're the same way. You are of no value to God. None. If you don't ever spend time with Him and have His river flowing in you. It's the bottom line. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank You and praise You today. Lord, I'm thankful that You love us enough to birth in us things that are needed. And Lord, we're going to be good mommies and daddies. We're going to take what's birthed in us and we're going to take good care of it. We're going to make sure it's fed. We're going to make sure it gets rest. We're going to make sure it gets held. Make sure it gets read to. Make sure it gets prayed over. Make sure that all the things that are needed for that day are able to take place because we're in relationship with You. And Lord, I ask that You will go with each and every one of us from this place. And every day, You'll continue to instruct us. You'll continue to teach us. And Lord, we'll be faithful to keep an ear tuned to You. That's our part. God can't make you listen. If you don't want to listen, He won't be talking.
But if you want to listen, He will definitely pour out to you the truths that you need to know so that you become all that He has in mind. And I pray that your desire is to hear what it is that's important to Him. And Lord, I just want to thank You and praise You for how You're working in my life and how You're working in this congregation's life. I thank You, Lord God. You're not going to leave us the same. You're going to change us. We're going to be transformed. We're going to be changed into the image of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing. And so, Lord, I look forward to how You're going to continue to do that. We love You, Lord. And I pray that as we walk out these doors, we demonstrate to You, and You are here every day, that we love You. Because love You is real easy to say, but it's very difficult sometimes to do. But Lord, I pray that we demonstrate with our lifestyle that we love You. And Lord, once again, that there's a distinction between those that hear Your voice and know Your voice and those that don't. That the world begin to see there's a distance between the two. So that the world doesn't look to the world and say, that's what God is. And the world will look to the church and say, oh, that's what God is. I see now. So Lord, help us to grow. Help us to mature. Help us to become all that You had in mind. And Lord, I want to say personally to You, it's an honor to carry Your babies. It's an honor to carry that which You desire to birth into this community. And I pray that it is continually a joy to our heart to allow You to do that. So we love You and praise You today. And Lord, if there's some that have just desired intimacy but just haven't made it to that point yet where they spend time with You, I pray that today's a new day. It's a new day where they can go and dedicate some time today just to hear Your voice and know what's important to You. I want to thank You for that. So Lord, have Your way. Do as You desire. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in this place as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen, amen. If anybody would like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you, encourage you along the way. Otherwise, greet each other, be friendly, put a smile on your face, save energy, and enjoy some coffee and juice and water, okay? All right, have a great day. Many blessings to you.